All right, tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, and we'll read a few verses in chapter number 3, the book of Philippians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people of that city of Philippi. Probably the most prominent person is the Philippian jailer that we read about in the book of Acts. And a multitude of people got saved there in that city. Church was established, and now Paul writes back to them after a number of years, and he gives them some instructions. The Bible, the Word of God that we have, is a multitude of books, or a multitude of, especially in the New Testament, letters that were written by, many times, the Apostle Paul. Written to a group of people that was needing specific things. And the book of Philippians, we find that Paul writes to them and just gives them encouragement along the way. And we are grateful that God has preserved His Word. He has promised to do that. And the Word of God has been preserved to us. We have the truth of it. And the problem is that we don't have the Word. The problem is that we don't do the Word. And we do not follow everything that has been given to us in the Scripture. But Paul writes in chapter 3, in verse, we'll begin in verse number 8. He says in verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is in God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, and being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, the prize, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In these verses tonight, the Apostle Paul is telling us about his position that he has, how that he has suffered loss of all things. There in those verses, in verse number 8, we find that he said, "I have counted all things loss." He said, "I did that, and I count all things as waste of this world." And he said, "that I may win Christ," or that I may know Christ in the life that he had for him. And then he goes on in verse number 10. He's done all these things. He's suffered these things of the world. And you can read in Paul's writing some of the things that he did suffer. And he did that, according to verse number 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." I want us to look tonight at that little phrase, "that I may know him." Tonight, the knowledge of people is very different. I guess we could call it it's a relative thing. There are some people that we know in passing that after we have met them, we will recognize them the next time we see them. We'll at least recognize their face. We may not remember their name, but we have that knowledge of who they are and some things about them. Then there are those folks that we have come to know a little bit better, and we know some things about them. We know where they work. We know where they live. We know about their families. We know some things about their lives, and some things about their family members, and so we know them also. But then there are those that we know, sometimes their hobbies, their goals, their aspirations, even their problems. We know a little deeper into their life. And then there are those people of our own family, our children, our spouse, that we know better than anybody else. And so the knowledge that we have of people is graduating as far as how much we know about them. And Paul says here that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, there are some people that are acquainted with the Lord just in passing. Oh, they know who we're talking about. They know some things about the Lord. They have a head knowledge. They have some ideas of what has been told to them by somebody else. And so they can say, I know the Lord. And they just know about the Lord. Then there's some folks that really truly have been born again. And that's about the extent of what their knowledge is. They know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But then there are some that can say, I really know Him. And tonight I want us to think about just the question, do you know the Lord? Somebody would say, well, yeah, preacher, I know the Lord. I've been saved for a number of years. Yes, but do you really know the Lord? Do you really have that comprehension of who Jesus Christ is? And so this knowledge of the Lord also is a relative thing. We come to know Him in salvation, but then our knowledge should make progress. The Scripture calls that growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We mature as we spend time in the Word of God and as we spend time around God's people. We learn more about God's work. We learn more about Jesus Christ. And so if we've been saved, and if we've been saved for years, we should know the Lord better now than we did the day we got saved. There's that progression that takes place, and that's certainly that's a a progression that should be there. Some people are familiar with just stories about the Lord, but we need to know more than just stories. And Paul said that I may know Him. That woman there in John chapter 4 that the Lord met, that well of Samaria, her knowledge of the Lord was progressive. She first knew that He was a Jew, and then she came to perceive that He was a prophet. And then she finally realized that He was a Christ. And so there's a progression there in the knowledge that she had of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we've gone through that progression. We maybe understand some things about the Lord first, and then we find out that He's more than just some personality out there, that He's really the Lord. He's really a Savior. Then we experience Him as our personal Savior. And then we begin our walk with the Lord that we really may know Him, that we can come into the relationship with Christ. It's sort of like what's given to us in the Exodus chapter number 12 when the Bible talks about the sacrificial lamb. The Bible talks and gives us the verses there in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 3. The Lord told the Jews to take the lamb and to put the lamb up and make sure the lamb was right. Then if you read just a verse down in verse number 4 of Exodus 12, that becomes the lamb, not just any lamb, it becomes the lamb. And then if you read in verse number 5 of Exodus 12, it becomes your lamb. Thank God for the progression that He becomes mine. We belong to Him, He belongs to us. I know the Lord and He knows me, and so that's the progression. And so the Bible assumes that as a Christian and a part of our Christian life that we are to be well acquainted with Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says here, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, who suffered loss, he said, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. Now, Paul was a very dedicated Jewish man before he knew the Lord personally. And he says, my righteousness certainly is not of the law. He had already denounced that. Paul has now become a Christian, and he understands that relationship with the Lord. He said, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Now, he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were very dedicated to their own righteousness. They looked upon what they knew and what they did as being important, and Paul says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And so he was number one in his mind, and he said, the righteousness I have is not of the law, but the righteousness that Paul had was of the faith that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that came about so that he might really know Him. And so tonight I want us to look at the Scriptures about knowing the Lord. Here in verse number 10 says that I may know Him. And this is the passion that Paul had and the power of His resurrection. Now if we know the Lord, we're going to understand some things about the resurrection. If we know the Lord, we're going to understand some things about the suffering. If we know the Lord, we find that we can be conformable unto His death. We can be made in the very image of the Lord, not only in creation, but in recreation to follow Him. And so Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. So the Scripture there tells us that as a believer, there are some sufferings that we go through. There are some difficulties in our life. And so many times people will tell someone, well, now if you get saved, all your problems are over and the difficulties are gone. If you just turn your life over to the Lord, He'll make all things good. Well, He makes all things well, but it's not always good. And sometimes difficulties come and suffering comes even to the believer. And Paul talks about this fellowship together with his suffering. So I want us to look tonight to know Him. It's to know Him that liberates us from sin. And I don't have to spend a lot of time on any of these tonight. I think we understand this. But just to reiterate, the Scripture tells us that He has freed us from a bondage of sin. We've been liberated by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have liberty in Christ. Thomas says there in John chapter 14, Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Jesus said, I'm the way. There's the answer that is given. He said, you can know the way because I'm the way. You can know the truth because I'm the truth. You can know life because I'm life, and He's eternal life. And then Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except by Him. Thomas did not know the way, but Jesus told him He is the way. Thank God tonight He is the way of salvation. One day I heard that message. One day you heard that message, and we were freed from our sin. In the same sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is our liberator. The virgin-born baby in the manger, he had to be born as a virgin to a virgin because he had to be able to not be identified with everything in this world. He is the Son of God, and Jesus is His name, but more than that, He's God in the flesh. He became man that we might have righteousness given to us. So He was the virgin-born child of God, and He was given to mankind that they might have life. And not only was He virgin-born, but He was a virtuous man. Jesus never did sin. I go further than that. Not only did He did not sin, I believe as the Son of God and as God in the flesh, He could not sin. There was no ability in Jesus Christ to do wrong, for He was God. And I know there's debate on that subject, but Jesus never sinned, and so He could be that spotless sacrifice, that Lamb of God that is told about that would be taking away the sin of the world. And as we mentioned this morning, He freely gave Himself upon the cross of Calvary, that vicarious death as our substitute. And every Jew was required to bring a lamb on the Passover. Every Jew had to have the blood put before them, and they had to do that on Passover. Well, one day Jesus Christ, He was my lamb. And He shed His blood. He gave His life that I might have liberty, might have that liberation from sin and from Satan and even from my own self and those things that work within us. And so we find that Jesus Christ, we can know Him because He is the Son of God. And we don't just know facts about Him, but we've become acquainted with Him. And we know some things intimately about the Lord. Now, there's some people we know, and some people out on the street. I've been here long enough. We've had so many kids come through school here, and I'll go to Walmart, and somebody say, how you doing, Brother Richard? You remember me? And I have not the foggiest idea who they are. And sometimes I can't even say, well, I know your face, because from down here to up here, they've changed a whole lot. But they know me in that passing. They know my facial features. They know me. And that's a knowledge that we have. But when we come to meet Jesus Christ, we know Him more than just in passing. We know Him more than just little things about Him. I'm glad Paul said here that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, and being made conformable even unto His death. We have His likeness. And so here this virgin-born child was laid in a manger. He grew and he went through all of his human life as a man, but also as God, never committing a sin, never even thinking a bad thought. Now, I have a problem understanding that because I have them all the time. I have a problem with thinking, here Jesus is, even as a little boy, He never did get angry the wrong way. Now, we know He did get angry, because he drove the money changers out of the temple and he was angry. And there was anger there without sinning because they were degrading and doing terrible things there in his house. He said, my house is a house of prayer. And so it's hard for us to put all that in our little minds that we don't think on eternal terms. We don't think in sinless terms. Everything that we think about is time-related, and everything we think about is sin-related. And it's hard for us to understand that Jesus could liberate us from sin that he never knew until he hung there on the cross. And as we noticed this morning in Sunday school, and all the sins of the world was laid upon him, and God darkened the sky for 3 hours. It's hard to understand that. But I know him. And I know the Scripture tells us what he did, and so therefore we believe that. And not only did he live a perfect life, and not only did he die for my sin, but thank God there's victory in the Lord. And we have victory, and one day he's going to have victory given to us because of his resurrection and because of his going to heaven. One day he's coming back and to receive us unto himself. And so he conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave in his resurrection. And one day I can do the same thing because I know him. I don't just know about him, I know what he did, and I understand, and he lives in my heart, and we understand what he did for mankind. He did that for every person that will believe upon him. We're not a select group here in Grace Baptist that he's only done that for us, but he does that. He's done that for everybody that will believe upon him. Every person that will come unto him, Jesus will save, and no wise cast out. They'll come and they'll have a relationship with the Lord, and they'll have knowledge, and they can say as Paul, that I may know him. We know each other. Some I know better than others. Some maybe you've met just recently, and some people you don't know that well, but some people you know well, and then you have your family member that you know real well. And you have a relationship with folks on different levels, and our relationship with the Lord should be one that we know him, the power of his resurrection, conformable to his death, and even in the fellowship, if need be, of the suffering for the things and the cause of Christ. That's that one that saves us. Thank God for salvation. I don't believe we could ever say that too many times. Thank the Lord for salvation. I don't think you can wear that phrase out. Thank God he saved me. Because without that saving knowledge of the Lord, then we would die without God. We would not have knowledge of him. And we would die and go to hell. Now there's some people think they know him and all they know is just religious things. Religion is never very good. You'll find that religion has always been harmful to true Christianity. And some people have a knowledge of him just according to what their religion has told them. But we need to know him, what this book says about him. This says a whole lot more than what
off. I don't know why. Now I'm on. I can hear it. I didn't know if anybody else could or not.
But we find that we have a knowledge of the Lord in a certain way, in such a way that we are called children of God.
Turn this one up. It's going off. Number two, not only is he the Savior that liberates us from sin, but he's the shepherd. Thank God tonight we have a shepherd. We have a leader. We're not left here hopeless, and we're not left here without direction. We're not left here without having knowledge of where we're going. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 14, I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and am known of mine. I'm glad God knows the sheep. Let's turn over to John chapter 10 just for a moment. These are tremendous verses in John chapter number 10. In verse number 27, these familiar verse, we even have a song that we sang by this passage. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, the reason the sheep will follow the Lord is because they have been freed from sin. And now we have a shepherd that will lead us. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to have that understand. They knew the Lord in a different way, and they didn't want to hear the things that he had to say concerning his sheep. But I'm glad, thank God, tonight he's my shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if you read that all the way through, we finally come to the conclusion, all the days of my life. Every day of my life, God has done some things for us. He leads us into the pastures of the Scripture. He leads us in every way of life. Psalm number 23, verse 2 said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Thank God, He leads us where there is life. He leads us where there is sustenance. And David said, He's my shepherd, and therefore He leads me into these different areas. He leads me into pastures of the green pastures. We could call that the Scriptures. The Bible says in Psalm number 23, again, verse number 2, He leads us in the peace of the still waters. I'm glad, thank God, with the Lord, things peaceful. The world is in turmoil. The world is in trouble. The world is in upheaval. But the Lord said, "I'm your shepherd. I'll lead you beside still waters." Now, sheep will not drink from moving waters. It has to be still waters. And so we're the sheep of His pasture. He's our shepherd. And He takes us to where we will be able to nourish ourselves on the green grass of the Scriptures and in the still waters where we can have the blessings of God. It's an interesting thing that sheep will not. They just will not drink from a brook that's moving. It has to be still waters. No wonder David said, "He's my shepherd, so therefore He leads me to still waters." Why? He wants us to nourish ourselves. He wants us to have the good things. He wants us to take that in. And the green pastures and the still waters, He leadeth me beside those still waters. Then the Bible says in verse number 3 of Psalm 23, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His namesake." Righteousness, sanctification, serving Him, honoring Him, doing those things that's pleasing. And so, therefore, we find that as our shepherd, He leads His sheep. Sometimes people say, "Well, I just feel like the Lord's left me." No, the Lord hadn't moved a bit. The Lord hadn't changed positions. He's on His throne, and the problem is always man problem. It's always human problem. I've been there, you've been there, we've all experienced that, but He's my shepherd, and so therefore if I will listen to Him as His sheep, He'll lead me in the right places. He'll take me to green pastures where I can nourish myself. And the green pastures there can be the Scriptures, the Word of God, where we nourish ourselves and we learn and we grow in God's grace because He's leading us in those ways. And then He gives us still waters, the peaceful waters, where we can take in nourishment and then in paths of righteousness. You know, the Lord never leads you in paths of unrighteousness. He'll never lead you the wrong way. He'll never lead you into sinful ways. He'll never lead you into anti-unscriptural biblical ways. He always leads you in paths of righteousness. Why does He do that? He does it for His name's sake, that His name might be magnified, that His name might be lifted up. And He says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Thank God one day He's lifted up, He drew me, and we have life. I become a sheep one day. He's my shepherd, and I know His voice. Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord? I'm not talking about as you hear my voice tonight. I'm talking about that voice of God in your heart, that you know it's Him talking to you. How can you know that? How do you have that relationship? Because He is our shepherd, and He has saved us or liberated us from sin. And as He does that, He takes care of us, and we are called His servants. So we have gone from sinners to sheep to servants. There's a progression here. Sheep just follow along. And you cannot drive you drive cattle. You can herd cattle and be behind them. But sheep, you have to lead them. That's why He leads us. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me to still water. He leads me all the way. Now that we are His servants, David said, I shall not want. He loves me. And everything good that I need, God is able to supply. Now He supplies it in His own time. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have needs tonight. I'm sure every person in here, we could raise our hands and we could give testimony. I have a particular need. I'm glad He can supply it. My God shall supply all your need. That's Philippians 4:19, just a few verses over from where we read. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. How does He do that? By Christ Jesus, our shepherd. By Christ Jesus, the liberator. And so therefore we have the things that we desire, the things that we must have. God can deliver that because He supplies it. He's the supplier. We were a sinner, we became a sheep, now we're a servant. He is a Savior, He's a shepherd, now He's our supplier. He supplies my needs. He supplies the things that I must have. Psalm 123 says, our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us. He's going to supply. We got to wait for Him. We got to wait upon Him. Wait upon the Lord and understand that our provision comes from Him. Understand that the things that we have to give back to the Lord is a result of His provision to us. And He has given us added blessing and blessing on top of blessing. Why? Because He loves us and He supplies to us. I've made mention a number of times, years and years ago. I'm not even sure it was behind this pulpit. It might have been up in the upstairs auditorium years ago. Brother Don Sisk was preaching, and he made a statement that made such an impact upon my life, that God wants us to be a channel of blessings. He wants us to be available, that He can bless us so that we can bless others. That He can do more for us, that we might do more for them. And I can hear it as if it was clear as yesterday, Brother Sist preaching upon that subject of make me a channel of blessing, and how that He wants us to just channel it through our lives and through us. And as we give and as we do and as we respond to what God does for us, He just does more and more and pours it on more and more all the time. That's our God. He's our supplier. We're His servants. We're His channel. We're the ones that are to rest in His provisions and to receive the added blessings. Somebody says, well, if that's the way the Lord works, I believe I'll just do it so I can get a blessing. God doesn't work that way. You're going to miss out. I thought you said that's what He did. He does, but He doesn't work that way. He doesn't give it to you just because you think He ought to. God blesses you because you desire. Because you have hope, because you want to do those things. If I had the money right now, I'd send John O'Brien the money to take care of the need that's there. Because God wants us to be a channel. And so we find that He wants us to be used of the Lord so He can use us more. And as we're used more, He wants us to be a channel so He can use us more. And that's the supplier that loves us. And we're just the servant of God. Say, God, here I am. Take me and use me. Mold me and make me. We're His servants. Paul said he was a bond slave. Paul was very zealous before he got saved. He was very wicked before he got saved. But he was very zealous. He worked very hard. Because of what he believed. Paul believed that the church was wrong. Paul believed that the church was to tear up the things of the Jews. And he was very diligently working against that. And one day he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And then now he became very diligent working for the Lord. He became the servant of God. And because of his servitude and because of his attitude, God blessed him more and more. And most of the New Testament is written by this man, Saul of Tarsus. What a blessing it is to be used of the Lord. So He's the one that liberates us from sin. He's the one that leads us as His sheep. He loves us as His servants. And He lifts us even in suffering. The Christian life is not always fun and games. It's never games. The Christian life is not always fun. I've heard people say it's fun to be a Christian. Well, there's certain aspects of it that's fun. There are certain aspects of it that's enjoyable. But there are some things that's not enjoyable or fun. We live in a real world. We live in a nasty now and now. And sometimes it's just hard to live the way God wants us to live. If some preacher stands up and tells you that it's not hard to do that, he's lying. If he stands behind this pulpit and says that, I'll disagree with him. Because it is very difficult sometimes to be a real Christian. The pressures of life comes and problems arise. And sometimes we just have to face reality and say, man, this is tough. There's decisions that we make that are hard. There are decisions sometimes that we make that are disruptive to family. And nobody wants to disrupt family. Sometimes those decisions will split families apart. And not necessarily bad decisions, just things that tear us apart. Separate us. But I'm glad to thank God He cares like nobody cares. He knows our struggles. He knows our sorrows. And He can cure like nobody can cure. He can help us and He can take care of the needs that we have and He can comfort like nobody can comfort. Now there's something about these children around school and our children at home. There's something about the comfort of a mother. When you have your children home, they're small. They could care less. When they get hurt, they don't run to dad. They run to mom. And the mom comforts them and helps them. Oh, but as a child of God, you and I, we run to our Savior. We run to the one that can take care of our needs. This song was written years ago. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Thank God He does. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. If He can say, peace be still, He can take care of my struggles. If He can make the waves stop roaring and He can take care of the troubles of the seashore and the Sea of Galilee, He can take care of the sea where I'm living. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. I'll tell you what, He's a pretty good comforter because He says, I've got a good record. He's got a full record of all wins. Sometimes these ball, we count, what we say, what's your record? Oh, we're 2-3. Or we're 3-2. Well, Jesus is, He's got it all. He's won everything. He's never lost a battle. And I can say, oh, dear God, would you help me? Tribulation, trials, and storms come. He's there. The song goes on. Some of us can identify with this. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. Thank God He does. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O Thou Lily of the Valley, stand by me. Thank God tonight for the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ in our suffering. Whether it be us or our family members, one of these days we're going to know Him. We don't know Him yet this way, but we will know Him as the Son of Righteousness. And He's going to give us, and He's coming soon to receive us unto Himself. I don't know Him that way yet, but it's going to happen. I know Him as my Savior. I know Him as my Shepherd. I know Him as my Supplier. I know Him all these ways. But one of these days, I'm going to know Him as the Son of Righteousness that comes and will be forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. And I shall see Him. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is. We see Him today. We can read the Gospels and we can see the works and we can see all the details about the life of the Lord, but we have never seen Him. And let you in on a little secret. Those things, that pictures that say they're the Lord, I don't believe he looks anything like that. I just don't believe that. We don't know him in that aspect, but one day we shall. We'll see him face to face. Just like you're looking at me and I'm looking at you, and we can get face to face. And one day we'll be that close to that Lord that saved us, to that Lord that supplies to us, to that one that gives us direction. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Thank God not that's how we're saved, by the grace of God. Life, liberty, hope, all these things are given to us because he is our Savior. And Paul said, I can even undergo the sufferings. I've counted all things but loss that I may know him. I think the number one desire in the Apostle Paul's life was to have a better knowledge of Jesus Christ. He didn't want to have just a passing knowledge. He didn't want to just recognize him. He didn't want to just say, I know a little bit about him. He said, I want to know him. I want to understand the integral works of our Savior. And this book here reveals him to us. And we can know him. We know about him first, and then we get acquainted with him and we know him. And so thank the Lord tonight that we can know the Lord. Do you know him? Oh, not just in salvation, but do you know him? Do you have that working relationship with Jesus Christ so that everything works right and in order? And when Satan comes along and throws a cog in it or throws hammer in it and doesn't work right, he's there to help us. He's there to straighten out the mess sometimes that we make. Most of the problems we have are self-inflicted. And we make a mess of things, but I'm glad he's there to straighten it all up. He's my Savior. And Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus told her, he said, he'll live again. She said, oh, Lord, I know he'll live again in the resurrection. And Jesus comes out, and the next day he said, but I am the resurrection and life. We live because of who he is, what he is, and what he offers to us. He is our Lord, that we may know him. May God help us to put him in our heart and our life. Have that relationship with Christ that makes a difference in our life, makes a difference in the world. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul said, I've suffered loss of all things. Paul said, I've suffered the loss. He said, but I count it as dung. All those things I've lost, he said, it's just like the waste of an animal. It's nothing that I might know him. When compared to knowing him, nothing comes up to that point. Everything is important to him. Let's stand together tonight.